Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you're well. It was so great to meet some of you last weekend at Andy Blackman's after party event in Manchester. What a great thing. It was great for me. I felt like a kind of mother hen because some of the sober coaches that I trained were, you know, involved and running the event. And it's just so fantastic to have more people sharing these messages of positive sobriety. And there were lots of people there who were sober curious, maybe thinking about reducing their alcohol intake, and just so inspirational to bring people together. It was really great. So I did a talk. There was Michael Happy Without the Hooch gave a talk as well, Andy Blackman and Paul Briley, who were both coaches who trained with me early in the year. So just a great event. And really special and nice to be up north. I don't get up to Manchester very often. And fantastic to bump into Carl. It's so lovely when you get to meet one of your previous podcast guests. So a couple of weeks ago, Carl Considine was on the podcast. And of course, he's in that area as well, having just done his pop-up. So really fantastic to bump into Carl at that event. And we've got a whole bunch of things coming up. So do go to thesoberclub.com, click on events if you want to find out more about what's going to be coming up. This weekend it's Champneys. I guess depending on what time you're listening to this podcast, you've still got time to join us. Self-care and sobriety at Champneys. And then just a heads up that November the 15th, this is one you definitely don't want to miss because it's an online event. It is free, but you do have to register. So sign up to register to be part of a really great session where I'm going to be doing an interview first. And then there's going to be a breathwork session with a leading incredible legend, Christina Ray, who has been sober for a while. She's a coach. She does this incredible breathwork. You can check her out at Ray Rituals. And she's agreed to do this event. We were just going to have it for Sober Club members, and we thought, you know what, I'm going to open it up. But you do have to register because places are limited for that free Zoom event on November the 15th in the evening UK time. And then if you're in Hertfordshire, November the 16th, there's a sober self-care sharing circle that's in a lovely woodland venue in Hertfordshire. And then there's other stuff coming up as well. So check it all out. It's thesoberclub.com/events. Just, you know, keep in mind, connection is everything. It really is. Connection really is the key to carrying on living your best life without the booze, really. Really very excited about sharing this week's guest with you because I came across this really fantastic self-hypnosis app called Reverie. And, you know, hypnosis is something that I've been interested in for an awful long time. I mean, probably since I had my first baby, I was really interested in hypnosis. But it's sometimes difficult to get it explained well and to find ways that you can use it to overcome challenges and to be able to use hypnosis on the go, really. And that's what this app is. It's a self-hypnosis app, and it enables you to literally on the go be able to overcome challenges, you know, whatever it is. You can have the immediate benefits of self-hypnosis. So I thought, look, let's get the co-founder of the app on the podcast. And it just so happens that Dr. David Spiegel serves as the Wilson Professor and Associate Chair of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Stanford University School of Medicine. He has done so much incredible work. He's written so many papers, published loads of books, loads of scientific journal articles, 425 to be precise, chapters for various books, including hypnosis, psychosocial psychology, stress physiology, trauma, psychotherapy for stress, anxiety, and depression. He's really studied this stuff and done some absolutely pioneering research. So I thought it'd be fantastic to actually get to hear what he has to say. In addition to all of these credentials, he is, as I say, the co-founder and chief scientific advisor of this revolutionary self-hypnosis app called Reverie. So enjoy the interview. I'm absolutely delighted that my guest is Dr. David Spiegel, who serves as the Wilson Professor and Associate Chair of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Stanford University School of Medicine. You've got such an incredible biog, Dr. Spiegel, that I'm not going to be able to go through all of it to start with, but I definitely want to dig into some of it. So hopefully you can sort of chip in with some bits of your background for us. What I want to get to, of course, is that you are the co-founder and chief scientific advisor of a revolutionary self-hypnosis app called Reverie. Now, yes. I love everything to do with hypnosis and always have. So to be able to chat to you and get the lowdown is absolutely fantastic. So can we start with the real basics? Like, you know, what kind of work do you do and what have you been doing over the years? And why hypnosis? What exactly is it for people who are not even sure? Perhaps they think it's just stage hypnosis where someone turns you into a can of beans.
Yes, well, unfortunately, that's what most people seem to know about it. But it's actually a naturally occurring state of highly focused attention. The experience you might have, do you ever get so caught up in a good movie that you forget you're watching a movie and you enter the imagined world? It's been called believed in imagination. And I think hypnosis has its early basis in the fact that most children are very hypnotizable, more so than adults, in fact. And learning and play is all the same thing for a kid. You know, they just get completely absorbed in what they do. And we gradually lose that as we grow up and mature and value logic over experience. And in some ways, that's a loss. That it's good that we learn to get logical sometimes, but it's unfortunate that we lose that sense of immersion in what we're experiencing. Something that happens in hypnosis.
It's quite interesting. Can I just ask you? It's quite interesting because with your background, you know, you've published hundreds of scientific journals and book chapters and all kinds of stuff. When we talk about psychiatry, we don't necessarily think of hypnosis initially, do we? It's not. No. I don't know how big it is in the psychiatry world generally. So what was it that led you to focus and specialize in hypnosis?
Well, you're right. Although, you know, Freud in his earliest psychoanalytic work was using hypnosis to trace back people's psychoneurotic problems to early life experiences and see if he could untangle them by having them relive them using hypnotic recollection of what had happened earlier in life. But unfortunately, it became something of a sideshow. Freud decided to give up hypnosis one day when a patient came out of a trance and threw her arms around his neck. And he said, I was modest enough not to attribute this event to my own irresistible personal attractiveness. And he discovered that he thought the mysterious element at work behind hypnosis was transference, was these strong emotional feelings that he began to analyze as he understood psychoneurosis as a distortion of recollections of childhood and childhood attractions to parents. And that's an area that we have drifted away from as we focus more on cognitive behavioral and other ways of understanding how the brain works and how we get involved in situations that don't seem rational. But hypnosis is really just a state of intensely focused attention that we can use every day. I personally It's something of a genetic interest in my family. My parents were both psychiatrists and psychoanalysts. They told me I was free to be any kind of psychiatrist I wanted to be. And so here I am. But my father in particular trained to use hypnosis to help soldiers in combat in World War II. He was trained by a Viennese physician who couldn't serve in the U.S. Army when he escaped from Vienna during the war, but he taught doctors to help people control pain, control stress using hypnosis. And it's a highly focused way of getting the brain to filter in some information and filter out other information. Mm. And it is a very useful tool in controlling pain and controlling stress. We use it to help people with phobias, to get to sleep. It's a powerful and under-recognized tool.
Yeah.
And what would you,
absolutely. And what would you say is the, the main difference between seeing someone for hypnotherapy or being able to hypnotize yourself? Sort of, how easy is it? How possible is it to be able to do this for ourselves?
All hypnosis, Janie, is really self-hypnosis. There's nothing magic about somebody dangling a watch in front of your face. It's a state that we can shift into. And you do that, for example, when you have a runner's high, or you get so caught up in working on an article you're writing that you realize that dinner has passed and you've kind of missed it. You're so intensely focused. And that ability to focus attention is a natural capacity, and it doesn't require dangling watches. It doesn't require someone doing something to you. People have, to varying degrees, an ability to intensify their focus. And we can use that to control pain, for example. My lovely wife, Helen, had her first child, Daniel. He was 10 pounds when he was born. We used no chemical anesthesia. She imagined she was floating in Lake Tahoe. And she wanted to be in control of the process of giving birth to her child. And she was.
Wonderful.
And if you think about it, humans for thousands of years have been giving birth to children without chemical anesthesia. It's a way of better managing how your body reacts to stress and how you can control your sensation of pain and discomfort and put your emphasis on what you're for, on what you want to be able to control. It's a powerful tool. And to one degree or another, most people have some ability to use that and to use it to help manage pain, manage physical performance, get to sleep. It's a very useful tool that we underutilize.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about, many of the people that I work with want to stop drinking. How does help self-hypnosis, how can it be effective for people who want to change a habitual behavior?
Well, I had a young man who was having a great deal of difficulty controlling his drinking and getting himself into trouble, as many people do. And most of the mistakes we make in trying to change behavior is we tell ourselves, don't do that. And, it's like, I remember it's the signs on some highways that said, are you dying for a smoke? And people would think, yes, I am. And they have a smoke. And it was very clever. But what you're focusing there is on fighting what you don't want to do. And that just makes it more important. Instead, you focus on what you're for.
Yeah.
And I said to him, what effects alcohol has on your body. He was an athlete. He was not doing as well when he was drinking. And I said, why don't you think of your body as a precious, innocent child? Would you pour a bunch of alcohol into your child and expect it to function very well? And he said, no. He said, you mean sort of like the idea that the body is the temple of the soul? And I said, that's it. You've got it. Would you defile the temple of the soul by pouring stuff in it that makes it harder to control and harder to function? And if you want to change the way you treat your body, then treat it with respect and don't put into it things that you know are going to do it harm. Focus on what you're for. And he stopped drinking. He said, I feel better now because I am treating my body with respect. Mm-hmm. And that's the same kind of technique we use to help people to stop smoking. We can get, with single session, we can get one out of five people to stop smoking. And that's a lot for people who have difficulty smoking. Mm-hmm. And we do it because we say, would you take your baby and put tar and nicotine into the lungs of your baby? You would never do that. You would never consider doing that.
Yeah.
Focus on what you're for and protecting and respecting your body and feel good about it. You're not depriving yourself of anything. You're protecting your body.
Yeah.
And so it's just a way of focusing on a different way to approach the problem that you're trying to deal with. And for many people, that's enough. You focus on what you're for, not what you're against.
Yeah. And then what about people who would say, oh, I can't be hypnotized? You know, or sometimes people have said to me, I can't visualize and I can't be hypnotized. What would you say about people's hypnotizability?
Well, we have a digital interactive hypnosis app, Reverie, that is available at the App Store or on Google Play. And we have a 6-minute test of hypnotizability.
Oh, okay.
People do vary in their ability to experience hypnosis. And you can try imagining your hands floating up in the air like a balloon and feeling light and buoyant. And if you pull it down, it will float right back up to the upright position. You'll find something pleasant and amusing about it, sensation. And people can try it and see what happens. And for many people, they pull the hand down and it wants to go back up in the air. It just floats up in the air. And you feel a different sense of control over that hand going up than you do the other hand. And that's a sign that you are indeed hypnotizable, that you can dissociate the way the left hand works from the way the right. And so it's an indication to you that you've got this capacity to dissociate and change the control process of the way you work, in this case, your left hand and arm. And when you see that happen, there's an element of surprise. You say, well, if I can do that with my hand, maybe I can do that with other things too. Maybe I can change the way I feel about smoking or about eating, putting too much food into my body. I can just allow my body to function in a way that is healthier for itself and healthier for me and my body.
Yeah.
And so people get this experience and there's this element of surprise. Wow, look, my body does feel different. I can do this. And then the hand starts to float up. You look at it, you're surprised. And you say, I can do that for other things too. Just because I think about eating that extra piece of chocolate cake doesn't mean I have to eat it. My body is telling me it's had too much already. So I'm going to pay attention to my body and I'm going to use its own wisdom to decide whether it really wants to ingest any more of that food or not. So you're forming different kinds of relationships with your own body. And you're treating your body as if it were a trusting, innocent creature, which it is. And that if you treat it with respect, it will treat you with respect. It will help you live better and more healthily. And that's an easy thing to learn.
Mm. And I'm guessing that you would say that it's very safe. I mean, we started this conversation with, you know, a joke about stage hypnotism, where, you know, the perception is that someone can make you do something you don't want to do. But this is, in fact, very safe.
No, in fact, that's one of the big misunderstandings, is people think they lose control with hypnosis. Now, you know, we are social creatures. We believe things often that people tell us. 70% of Republican adults think Trump won the election. You know, we are susceptible to that kind of misinformation. But at the same time, we can use our capacity to think differently about how our bodies function to run them differently, to help manage our bodies differently. And if you think of the desire to smoke a cigarette as a desire that some people have, but you also think about what damage the tar and nicotine is doing to your lungs, you can say, you know, it's not worth it. Why would I deliberately harm my body in this way? Why would I put tar and nicotine into my lungs when I can instead treat my body with a sense of respect and protection? And it's not that you're depriving yourself of anything. It's that you're treating your body to a better experience. You're helping protect and respect your body. And that's an easy thing to learn to do.
Yeah.
And if you think of the fact, Janie, that there are 70,000 people a year dying of opioid overdoses in the United States now.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
You're not doing your body a treat. You're damaging it. You're killing it. And if you can just focus instead on saying, it's not that I have an impulse to take a drug. It's that I want to weigh that impulse against my capacity to respect and protect my body, to treat my body the way I would treat my child. And it gets real simple when you do it that way. You focus on what you're for. You focus on respecting and protecting your body, and you feel good about it. You know, one of the best ways to change behavior is intermittent positive reinforcement. Mm. You know, somebody comes along, pats you on the back and say, hey, that was a great job. You feel good. You naturally feel good. You're not depriving yourself of anything. You're focusing on what you're for. And so hypnosis is a way of taking control of the processes that naturally teach you how to respect and protect your body.
Mm. Yeah. So tell us about the app. I mean, you've literally had so many years of experience, you know, practicing clinical hypnosis. So what a thing that you've developed this app, Reverie. Tell us how it works.
Well, you know, hypnosis is the oldest Western conception of a psychotherapy. It's the first time that a talking interaction was thought to have therapeutic potential. And yet, for 250 years, it's been around, and people have either made fun of it. They've said it, you know, makes, you know, the football coach dance like a chicken or something. It's, they don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And, I've been doing research and clinical work on hypnosis for 50 years. I've done randomized clinical trials that show we can help people control pain, stop smoking, lose weight. We find that it's a tool that can be remarkably effective, and yet people don't take it seriously. And in part because we tend to think as humans that the body's a machine, and that the way that we fix the machine is ingestion, injection, or injection. You know, we have to do stuff to it to change it. And yet we have this 3-pound organ sitting on the top of our shoulders that controls every part of the body, is a remarkable tool, and we don't make enough use of it. We don't take it seriously. So I decided to do it, and I've used hypnosis, Janie, with some 7,000 people in my career. And a lot of times they get better. They control their pain. They sleep better. And I've decided that I want to have that available to people even when I'm not around to help them do it. And I met Ariel Poehler, who is a brilliant serial entrepreneur trained at Stanford Business School and MIT. And I asked him, could we make an app? Could we do something that would teach people interactively how to use hypnosis? And he said, well, you know, Alexa is making it easy to build apps now. Why don't we give it a try? So we started out teaching people how to stop smoking with hypnosis. And we found that single session, 1 out of 5 people stopped smoking. And the ones who didn't cut down the amount of smoking they did by about 50%. And we thought, that's not bad. You know, we can live with that. And so we made it available to people. And we now have thousands of people every day while we're talking. I'm helping people get to sleep quicker, control their pain, control their anxiety, stop smoking, control their drinking, eat more sensibly. And it's easy for them to do. They can interact with me on the app. So I ask them, are you feeling that you can, you know, protect your body from smoking? If they can, I tell them one thing. If they're having trouble, I approach it for them in another way. And it's available to anybody anywhere with an iPhone or an Android to try it for themselves in their own home. You know, I used to worry, is it as good as the experience of being in the office with me? And at first I thought, well, we got to work on it, you know. But then I thought, if you're waking up at 3 a.m. and you can't get back to sleep, you probably don't want me in your bedroom telling you how to get back to sleep. So we're finding that it can be an extremely useful way for people to have a tool at their bedside in their hand, to give them instructions on how to master their own ability for self-hypnosis, because all hypnosis is really self-hypnosis. It's just a skill that people have. Just teach them how to use it better, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I love that. So I can see that, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that people can find immediate benefits for, as you say, you know, whether that's sleep or breaking a bad habit or reducing pain or establishing healthy eating habits, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, typically, how much time, I'm thinking of the person who's super time poor, you know, how much time would one need to commit, in inverted commas, to using this tool?
Well, we find that a given exercise takes something like 8 to 11 minutes.
Oh, really? Is that all?
And that's all. And people can sometimes do refreshers for just a minute or two to do it.
Amazing.
If you practice it every day, if you've got a problem, or several times a day, if you feel like you're losing it, you're just, you know, I'm thinking I want to smoke, do the exercise. And in a few minutes, you can just get beyond it. It's not a big elaborate technique. It's different from mindfulness, and then in mindfulness, you're often taught to practice half an hour twice a day. Our job, hypnosis is Western. It's to solve a problem. It's a tool to solve a problem. It's not meant to be a practice that you have to do all the time. It's use it when you need it. And so you've got a tool in your pocket to use if you're having an impulse to smoke, you're having trouble focusing your attention, you've got a task that you've got to get done. Just go into the state of self-hypnosis, allow your body to float so your body is comfortable, feeling safe. And then you picture, okay, here's what I need to do next, and here's how I can get it done. I can picture the steps I need to take to get this project completed. And then you go on and you do it. And so it's something that you can use very quickly, and give yourself a plan for how to carry out what it is you want to get done, and give yourself a direction for doing it that involves feeling good. You know, one of the best ways to change behavior, Jenny, is intermittent positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
You pat yourself on the back. You're not saying, oh, I have to do this, or I must do that, or I'm bad if I don't do it. You just say, here's my plan. Here's what I want to do. Plan it out and do it.
Yeah.
And people can find that they can do that very quickly and very easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really interested in, you know, some of the stuff you talk about around how it can help reduce pain. I mean, I wonder, it's not really a question, it's just a kind of a comment, but wouldn't it be amazing if the medical profession recognized that and, you know, encouraged people to use hypnosis? It would probably be far quicker than actually weighing a patient and going to the medicine cupboard.
Janie, we published a paper in The Lancet in 2000. We did a randomized clinical trial, 241 subjects, having arterial cut downs to break up constrictions in arteries or do chemoembolization for tumors in the liver. And we had three groups. One group, they all could have push a button and give themselves opioids. One group had that plus a friendly nurse of helping them. And the third learned self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And we found that by the end of an hour and a half, it takes about 2.5 hours altogether to do the procedure. The hypnosis group had their pain levels were 1 out of 10. They were six out of 10 for the standard care group and 3 out of 10 for the friendly nurse. And they were using half as much of the pain medication.
That's amazing.
So it's, you know, and if I had a drug that did that, you know, every drug company in the world would be
You'd be very rich.
Right. I would be. I'm not. And it's a matter of just teaching people how to use this natural ability they have to make themselves more comfortable. Yeah. And it's a shame that we don't do more of that. There are 70,000 Americans died of opioid overdoses last year in the United States. It's unnecessary. Nobody dies of hypnosis. It's a matter of using the brain to help us plan and control how to better get through difficult experiences. And it's tremendously helpful for pain. Tremendously helpful.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I could talk to you for ages. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us and love the whole idea of this app. It's clearly a complete game changer.
I'm glad you feel that way. And it's available to anybody on the App Store or Google Play, depending on the kind of phone you have. Just download it. And you can get a feel for it. This is World Mental Health Week, and I think we're offering a special discount on using it. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper than almost anything else anybody does.
Yeah, absolutely. And how wonderful, to be able to take back control and be able to feel that you're doing something that you can do regularly. And as you say, it might be 3 a.m.
And
it can still bring you back to balance. So brilliant. Yeah, do have a link for listeners to try Reverie free for 14 days. So I'm going to make sure that goes in the show notes of this podcast and wherever
Jenny.
Find my info. So thank you so much, Dr. David Spiegel. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you for talking with me. Take care.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And we have a great offer where you can try Reverie, the self-hypnosis app, free for 14 days. So the link is reveriehealth.app/link/Jamie. But much easier if you just go to the show notes and you'll find that link there. And you can just tap it from your mobile. And then you can use that link to try Reverie free of charge for 14 days. So let us know how you get on. I used it when I was having some dental work done. Keep going on about my dental work, don't I? but it was quite traumatic, I have to say. I was in the dental chair for 4 hours. 4 hours, I kid you not. And I used this before I went in, and it definitely helped. It definitely helped calm me down. I was very grateful for it, actually. And what I really loved about it was the fact that I literally did I think it was 2 minutes, the one I did. So, you know, we're not talking needing to necessarily set aside 20 minutes. It was really quick. I was able to use it in the waiting room, literally before I went in. Really, really great. So look at the show notes and make sure you check that out. Just a reminder, if you are early days ditching the booze, if you've been sober for ages and you would like some support and encouragement and some amazing inspiration around well-being, then check out the Sober Club. It really is the home of all things well-being, all things optimum health underpinned by sobriety. And we do have members who are starting out. There's absolutely no judgment, doesn't matter what stage you're at. And we've got people who've been sober. I think one woman's been sober for 13 years. How amazing is that? But people come back because they get supported. We become each other's cheerleaders, whatever is going on in our lives. For some people, the sobriety piece is just become who they are. They really don't have to think about it. It's just who they are. But now they're doing all sorts of other amazing things in their life. And it's wonderful to have the support of people who've been through the sobriety piece and now they're living their best life. And that gives us such an amazing connection. So please check it out if you're interested, thesoberclub.com. We have lots of meetups online. We've got an amazing private group where we share a whole bunch of stuff. And there's a huge member portal of content, which is exclusive content. Lots of the content in there is not published anywhere else at all. It's not on podcasts. It's nowhere else. So there's a whole bunch of really great exclusive content on there. It was National Author Day, by the way, in the week as well. So if you haven't yet got Happy, Healthy, Sober, then it's a good time, good as time as any to get it. Don't forget our events. Go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. I haven't even mentioned the end of October, which was last week, I suppose. But if you are someone who did sober October and you're now tipped it into November, well, good for you. Keep going. Set yourself a new challenge to, I don't know, end of January, and you'll really start to reap those benefits. Put the work in, get connected, do all those little things that make a difference. You might have seen the post I did on Instagram about nutrition. It's key. It's really important. Do all those pieces. And if you are just starting out, reach out, because it's great to tell someone, and I'll be a cheerleader if I can. You know, I'll answer as many messages as I possibly can. So follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace, and you're very welcome to message me if you want to share with me that you are ditching the booze, or in fact that you are happy, healthy, sober. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.